Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. It's a very, very cold night in Atlanta and the surrounding regions, and honestly, all over the South. There's been close to a foot of snow in New Orleans, which is absolutely insane. It's kind of an anxious night on my end because I'm really looking forward to an opportunity tomorrow, but it's a little up in the air at the moment because of travel and how that's been disrupted with the roadways and such. I am headed to Orlando, Florida tomorrow to call my second U.S. soccer match. This is a really special one. It's for a very small audience. It's part of a trial that the U.S. Soccer Federation is doing, and Jacob Kaplan, who plays on the USCP men's national team and based here in Atlanta, he's been working on putting this together for quite a while. Myself and Madison Cruz will be headed to Orlando to call the U.S. Costa Rica men's match tomorrow in a little bit different way. It is called audio descriptive commentary, and it's for the visually impaired in the venue. So we will be calling it in a style that you guys would be familiar with if you've heard me call games on the radio and, you know, how we work. But there are elements of it that are very different. And it's very cool to be able to be part of something that's brand new for U.S. soccer and will help grow the game and grow that love of the game for a new part of the audience. So keep your fingers crossed that the flight's on time and the travel is comfortable to get to the airport tomorrow morning. I will be keeping my fingers crossed the rest of the evening and hoping that that gets done. So let's talk a little bit about the U.S. national teams. The men and the women are both doing camps right now. They're very different kind of camps. And look, some of that's probably down to the schedules that the clubs play for both of these teams. The men are, you know, a lot of their players that are in this camp are playing in Major League Soccer, so they would be starting preseason camp right now anyway. The women, their camp would not be going yet, and they are not playing games during this camp. We'll talk about Emma Hayes and her group a little bit here in a minute, but I want to talk about this men's group. They beat Venezuela 3-1 over the weekend, gave up a goal late. It would have been a 3-0 win. I thought Jack McGlynn, not just because he had a golazo, I thought he was the best player on the field in the match and showed really what he can do. I'm fascinated to see how some of these Philadelphia players look under Bradley Carnell. And I want to see if maybe he opens things up a little bit more. I don't know how much of his MO that is, but when you have a player like McGlynn who is great on the ball, I think you want to give him that opportunity a little bit more. Matko Miljevic is a little bit of a surprise in this. A lot of people did not even expect him to be called up. This is a player who I believe is banned from a local league in Montreal for playing under an alias and getting into some trouble. He played at Newell's last season. He got into some trouble in this game when him and McGlynn kind of got into it, wanting to take the penalty. Miljevic took the penalty and it didn't go very well, but look, he redeemed himself. I thought he was really, really strong in the match. Diego Luna is a player that I'm really looking forward to seeing more and more of as a number 10, a kind of throwback number 10. This is a big game against Costa Rica for both of these teams. It's a big game for these U.S. men's players to show what they can do in a game that matters. And look, like Ronnie Dyla talked about with the Atlanta United game in Chattanooga this weekend, you can do a lot of things in training. You can watch a player a lot of times, but when you see how they react in game situations, it's different. when you get to see that up close, as Mauricio Pochettino in this case, it's different. I want to see who really comes out of this camp. And look, it might be no one. The answer really could be no one. But I want to see who comes out of this camp and is seen differently at the end of it. McGlynn, trending in that direction. Patrick Schulte, does he continue to trend in that direction? He's got a couple of caps under his belt. He's 23 years old. He could be the next one in line at goalkeeper for the U.S. to break through. Matt Fries of New York City, Zach Steffen of the Colorado Rapids are the other two goalkeepers in camp. We'll see if Steffen or Fries get this game tomorrow night. Backline, George Campbell, our old friend, played and started and played well against Venezuela. Had a couple of block shots in that one. Former Atlanta United homegrown. Max Arfston, a player that I will be interested to see at this kind of level. And can he continue to rise? I think Wilfred Nancy's done a great job with developing his game. His fellow crew teammate, DeJuan Jones. I think we know what to expect from Jones at this stage. 27 years old. He's got 8 caps under his belt. Really strong attacking two-way fullback. We've seen Tim Ream quite a bit with the national team. He was in this camp to bring a little bit of experience. Miles Robinson, our old friend, didn't play very well. At least didn't look very good on the goal that Venezuela scored, to be fair. Walker Zimmerman, part of this group as well. Another one I think we know what to expect by now. I talked about Luna before. Another young player that I want to see a little bit more of, just because I haven't had the chance to see him up close all that much, is Emeka Inelli, the RSL central midfielder. Played 38 games in all competitions for RSL this past season. He was voted the team's MVP by his fellow players. Played in college at Cornell, had a great career there, helped them get to the Sweet 16 for the first time in almost 30 years. 25 years old, maybe one of those guys that kind of flew under the radar. I want to see if Inelli can be a player who is seen differently at the end of all of this. Up top, I think another player who is being seen differently and should be is Patrick Adjiman. I feel like I've had this conversation for a while about Adjiman since seeing him with Crown Legacy when he came in after being drafted from Rhode Island. I've talked to our friend Jessica Charman about this quite a bit during her time calling Charlotte FC games. I don't get why he's even being held back at all at this point. Going into the postseason, I said he's got to start. I don't care what you're paying Karol Swiderski. Adjiman's got to start. 10 goals in 36 games in all competitions in 2024 for Charlotte. This is another kind of guy who went a different route, maybe a late bloomer, maybe unscouted, maybe wasn't scouted properly. He started his college career in the D3 level at Eastern Connecticut State. 30 goals in 2 seasons, All-American honors, moved up to Rhode Island, 19 goals in his final 2 seasons, and he just continues to get better and better. He's a handful. Like, just physically, he's going to cause teams problems. But what I've been so impressed with is I feel like his game adds layers every time I see him. I want to see more of him. I think he's one of those players that could absolutely play his way into the World Cup roster in 2026. Caden Clark talked about it a lot late in the season in MLS as he went to Montreal and had 4 goals, 2 assists in 10 games after a slow start to the year with Minnesota. 21 years old, it's kind of unfair to call him a late bloomer, but he came on really strong when he signed with the Red Bulls, then went to Germany and didn't do much of anything. Came back to Minnesota, didn't look good. And Montreal, it just clicked with him and Laurent Courtois and that group. He's one to continue to keep an eye on. Brian Gutierrez, another player from MLS that I've always been a big fan of with the Chicago Fire. Talked about Mihevic, just a fascinating player who has played with the U.S. youth national teams, has played with Argentina's youth national teams. He's a firecracker. And sometimes it's nice to have those kind of guys in your group. Another player with semi-local ties, Indiana Vasilev, part of this U.S. roster, originally from Savannah, started his youth career at South Georgia Tormenta, then went to the IMG Academy, went to Aston Villa, came back into MLS with Miami. Now he's really finding a good spot for himself in St. Louis, had 4 goals, 5 assists, and 35 games last season. Let's talk a little bit about Costa Rica. Piojo Herrera, the Mexican, I think legend is a fair way to put it. These are his first moments with the Costa Rican national team, to the point that he was very clear in saying that his assistant, Paolo Wanchope, Costa Rican legend, really helped pick this group of players because he's still getting to know the whole group. Entirely players from the Costa Rican first division. I think you're going to see a team that will be wide open and attack minded under Herrera, a team to definitely keep an eye on in terms of seeing a new generation come through. I think it's taken a little bit too long for that new generation to come through. Couple of guys to keep an eye on in this game. Alan Cruz, somebody that you'll remember from Cincinnati on the older side in this group at 28 years old. He's been outstanding since going back to Herediano. 6 goals in 6 playoff games to help Herediano win their 30th league championship. Another player that I've heard a lot about, another Herediano player, 19-year-old Andy Rojas, 30 goals in all competitions since the start of the Apertura, the second half of the season in Costa Rica, or the first half of the season, sorry, the second half of the calendar year, the first half of the season, the Apertura Clausura setup. 5 goals, 3 assists for Rojas. He is really seen as the next star from Costa Rica. Dribbler, takes on opponents, dynamic, really interesting player that I'm looking forward to seeing up close, barring any crazy travel difficulties that, you know, with frozen roads and things could actually be an issue for me as I try to get to Orlando tomorrow. I'll keep you posted. Make sure you're following me at Longshoe on the social media platforms, and I'll keep you posted on my travel exploits. Before we go to the break, let's talk a little bit about this U.S. Women's National Team camp. It's different because they're not playing any games. It's different because it's kind of two camps in one. It's a national team camp plus a futures camp, which I really love the idea of that. It's an opportunity for Emma Hayes. They're in a different spot in the World Cup cycle. They don't have a World Cup to worry about until 2027, 2.5 years away. You've got some players who have left the national team program now for the U.S. It's a chance to look at a large group of players before starting to whittle it down. It's also a chance to look big picture with that futures camp at some players who might be able to jump into this group sooner rather than later. I love the idea. I think with the players that we've seen brought in, and one of them has quite a few have local ties, but one who jumps out to me is Jordan Dudley from Cambridge High School and now Florida State University. She's been outstanding at every level she's been at. Can she continue to elevate it and in this national team can't be able to shine right in front of Emma Hayes? I think she has the ability to jump the line and get into that attacking group with the first top group. It would be exciting to see. I think when you look at who Emma Hayes has brought in and kind of how we saw this team play since she took over in 2024, she's flexible. She's adaptable based on the players she has and the form that they're in. But I think you're seeing a team that will be attack minded. I think it suits this pool. I think that this team is heavy on the attack side. So a lot of attackers in this group. I think you're starting to see not a blueprint, but maybe a framework is a better way to put it of what Emma Hayes is looking for with the U.S. Women's National Team and kind of what she's looking for in terms of creating and harnessing the overall pool of players in women's soccer in the United States. We're going to talk about one of them in the 3-4-3 coming up next, right after this break, our last segment of the evening on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.